Okay, to proceed with the arguments for this morning, the first argued case is number 21-1605, New Card Incorporated against Samsung Electronic Company Limited. Mr. Milliken. Please proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Judge Newman. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Board's conclusions on written description and obviousness were erroneous. The Board's written description analysis improperly limited the specification's disclosure to a preferred embodiment in violation of this Court's precedents, and it improperly ignored the predictability of the technology, again in violation of this Court's precedents. As to obviousness, the Board's finding that Real contains three terminals is inconsistent with Real's own disclosures, and it rests on an unreasonably broad construction of the term terminal. I'll begin with written description. It's undisputed here that there are only two possible orientations for inductor coils. You can have them side by side, or you can have one inside another one, or concentric. And it's also undisputed that both orientations operate in a predictable way. It's undisputed that the specification discloses, quote, adjacent inductor coils. And it's undisputed that the word...
Counsel,
yes.
Do you agree, though, that when it's talking about the adjacent coils, it's in the context of the concentric embodiment depicted in the figures?
I think that in column 19, when it discusses concentric coils, it says such as, and then it gives the figure 3 example, which is concentric. But in column 23, lines 37 to 39, it talks about adjacent coils generally and does not tie it specifically to any embodiment that's recited in the figures.
Do you think it's unreasonable for the Board to have made the fact finding of no written description when the specification talks about the importance of having a smaller footprint, and it would seem that a concentric design would have a smaller footprint?
I do think that it's unreasonable, Your Honor, particularly because the Board did not acknowledge that there are only two possible arrangements and that they both operate predictably. And I think this Court made clear in Global IP Holdings that predictability is a required aspect of the analysis. And I think
even if it's predictable, if it doesn't satisfy the requirement of the smaller footprint, then would that not be a reasonable finding? I'm just trying to get your response to that, because to me that was pretty compelling evidence in the spec when it was talking about the desire to have a smaller footprint.
Right. So I think that the smaller footprint is an advantage of the concentric embodiment, and I think that's why the specification focuses on the concentric embodiment, because it allows it to be smaller. But the principal purpose of the invention is to have this three-terminal structure where you have the terminals connected to the coils in different configurations such that you can produce a tunable inductance. And that's possible to do with either the side-by-side or the concentric arrangement. And so I'd submit that the primary purpose of the invention is realized regardless of which arrangement that you choose. And I think it's important to point out that this patent actually uses the word adjacent a lot. It's not just talking about adjacent coils. And virtually every time it uses the word adjacent, it uses it to mean side by side. For example, column 5, line 35, it refers to, quote, adjacent antennas. It means the antennas are next to each other. Column 6, line 42, it says vias positioned adjacently. It means the vias are next to each other. Column 10, line 11, it says adjacent wire strands. It means the wire strands are next to each other. And so the point is that...
What if I disagree with you that the specification, when it talks about adjacent in the context of the coils, it only means concentric? Then should I really give much weight to your evidence that adjacent in other contexts might mean side by side?
Well, so as an initial matter, Your Honor, I'd point out again that in that passage in column 23 that I referred to uses the word adjacent not in the context of the preferred concentric embodiment. But regardless of that, I think that it was incumbent on the board to grapple with the implications of the predictability here in determining whether the reference to adjacent coils would disclose.
If we agree with you on that, you've cited to Global IP. There, I think there was a vacated and remanded. Is that what we should do if we agree with you on predictability?
I think that if the court is not inclined to sort of resolve the question of whether adjacent coils discloses the side-by-side as a matter of law, then yes, the proper course would be to vacate, as the court did in Global IP Holdings, and remand to the board to consider the analysis with the proper attention to the predictability of the technology.
But let's talk about the three terminals. There are two more or less standard terminals, but the third is a different kind of connection, is it not? How do you rationalize that all of these are, do they have to be the same kind of terminal, or is it sufficient if there's a connection?
I think, Your Honor, that the key is it has to be a connection to external circuitry, and the problem with Real is that there are only two connections to external circuitry in Real, which are the two connections to the bridge rectifier. And you can actually see this, I think, most clearly by looking at Samsung's own arguments, because before the board, Samsung analogized Real's antenna to the antenna that's depicted in figure 2A of the patent, which you can find at appendix 102. And Samsung analogized the capacitor C1 and C2 of the switch circuit in figure 2A to Real's capacitor network. But if you look at figure 2A, the points on the coils that connect the coils to the switch circuit, which is part of the antenna, those are not denoted as terminals. You can see point 33, for example, which connects each of the coils to C1 and C2. That is not a terminal. It is described as, quote, a point which is an electrical junction between the first and second coils. And that's effectively what Samsung has mapped a third terminal to in Real, which I think is just inconsistent with Real's express disclosures, because Real tells us where its terminals are. It uses the word terminal in one place, and that's in paragraph 26, which is at appendix 2200. And it does so to refer to the inputs to the bridge rectifier, and Real makes clear that there are only two of those. And so what Real calls the ends of the coils that Samsung tried to map to the terminals, those are explicitly referred to as interconnection points, which are analogous to the electrical junction that is depicted, for example, in point 33. And
that's the distinction that should be drawn, whether it's an interconnection point.
Yes, Your Honor. I think the distinction is whether it's an interconnection point within the antenna versus a point on the antenna that actually connects the antenna to external circuitry. So, for example, in figure 2A in the patent, the terminals are 34, 35, and 36, and those are the connections to an external electronic device, like, for example, a rectifier. And so in Real, analogously, the terminals are the two connections between Real's receiver antenna and the bridge rectifier 4. And those internal connection points, those are not terminals under the plain ordinary meaning of the term.
What about figure 9 of the patent and the discussion? I think it's column 28, but the discussion of figure 9. Isn't that supportive of the way the board understood what a terminal is?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because if you look at Figure 9, the terminals there are again denoted 34, 35, and 36, and those are extending outside of the antenna to the external electronic device.
But in column 28, doesn't it explain that the common or the electrical connection points, 148, 150, 152, can serve as the terminal? The discussion isn't that, yes,
and I think that's correct that the connection points can serve as the terminal. But what makes them a terminal as opposed to merely a connection point is that they also connect to something external to the antenna, which you can see 35, 36, and 34. They come off of those connection points and they connect to something else. And the problem with real, and you can see this. I think if you turn to Appendix 14 to 15, this is the board's decision. The problem with real is that this connection point that Samsung mapped to the third terminal that's circled here in red, that doesn't actually go to anything that's external to the antenna. It just connects to the capacitor network, which is internal to real's receiver. What's circled in green and blue, the first and second terminals, those do eventually get to the bridge rectifier. And so depending on how you draw the boxes, you might be able to say that those end up being antennas because they end up getting outside of the antenna itself. But this so-called third terminal, the junction point between L2 and L3, it never does that. And so it doesn't qualify as a terminal. I see that I'm close to my rebuttal time. If the panel has further questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
All right. Let's hear from the other side.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Bansal, you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Let me begin by addressing the prior art dispute, as that is dispositive of all but two challenge claims across the two patents. The board made a factual finding that Real discloses the claim terminals under the interpretation of that term offered by New Current below. Therefore, there is no claim construction issue for this court to decide. Moreover, the board's finding on appendix page 25 that Real's inductors L2 and L3 constitute an antenna renders moot the belated interpretation of external circuitry that New Current offers on appeal. Substantial evidence supports the board's finding. Let me explain that. I want to start with the fact that while Dr. Baker, Samsung's expert, offered testimony on why Real's interconnection points 1, 2, and 3 with the appended conductive material constitute terminals, New Current's declarant did not rebut or disagree with the testimony, and the board noted that at appendix page 34. And I heard New Current's counsel talk about the fact that the capacitor network is not external circuitry. Dr. Baker here is the only declarant who offered testimony stating that the capacitor network is indeed external circuitry, and the board cited that. But I think we should take a look at appendix page 314 and 315, because the coils, L2 and L3, they actually constitute the antenna. So, Your Honor, if you look at figure 3 of Real that is reproduced on appendix page 314, there's a capacitor network C2A, C2Q, C2B. By its construction, New Current wants to say that is not external circuitry, because that network is not external to the antenna. But what New Current ignores is the antenna in Real is undisputedly L2 and L3. If you look at the analysis that Samsung provided in its petition at the bottom of page 314, Samsung said the two inductor coils form a receiver coil. And then on the next page, Samsung said a person of ordinary skill in the art would have understood that such a receiver coil is an antenna. And the board on appendix page 25 stated antenna, that is a receiver coil. So the claim construction issue here is moot because the capacitor network is external to the antenna under New Current's interpretation that it offers an appeal. Unless there are any questions, I would like to move on to the written description issue.
Will you address for a minute, just address the arguments that were made about figure 9 of the patent and whether those that disclosure, I think it was in column 28, I could be wrong about that, shows that those terminals or those connection points could be terminals. There was an explanation by your adversary about that, and I'd like you to address it for me.
Your Honor, the way we read that passage and the way the board read that passage is, a terminal is simply an interconnection point with appended conductive material that allows the connection, the coils to be connected to other circuitry. And I think that's all that column 28 says. You know, it says in an embodiment, terminal leads 154, 156, 158 may be attached to these connection points to create antenna terminals.
So that is kind of an argument going to, you know, a terminal doesn't have to have be connected to external circuitry. But the alternative argument is that if you look at figure 3 of Real, it discloses that anyway.
Exactly.
Do I understand that correctly? Okay, thank you.
Unless Your Honors have any questions, I would like to turn to the written description issue. The board made a factual finding, supported by substantial evidence, that the inventor did not have possession of the claimed side-by-side coil arrangement. This side-by-side coil arrangement was added by New Current on the eve of allowance, apparently to cover Samsung's then-existing commercial products. But this 11th-hour amendment to the claims creates conflict with the specification, which the board grappled with because the board found that the specification only discloses concentric coils, and which New Current had repeatedly told the patent office was critical to the invention, as Judge Stoll noted. That's why we have this dispute, and that's why we have this appeal. Let me explain.
How do you respond to the point about how the board should have considered the predictability? I mean, there was only two possible embodiments, concentric or side-by-side, and they should have considered that.
Your Honors, the board considered the record as a whole. The board considered oral argument on this issue. That's at appendix page 599-604. The board was simply unconvinced that the inventor had possession of the full claim scope of claim one. Having said that, predictability is not really relevant here, Your Honor, for three reasons. First, predictability cannot be used as an excuse for the lack of disclosure of an explicitly recited claim limitation. Here, the way the claim is structured, it says one of A and B. It's a claim reciting a list. And it's black letter law that each element of that list has to be in the specification, has to be disclosed in the specification. The Power Oasis case that we cited says all claim limitations must be in the specification. So if the claim had said one of copper and aluminum, both copper and aluminum have to be in the specification. There's no issue about predictability there that can save the patentee if both elements of the claim are not, or of that list are not in the specification. Here, everyone agrees that the claim recites two options, concentric and side-by-side. And the board made a factual finding that is entitled to deference on appeal that the side-by-side coil arrangement, that is an explicit limitation of the claim, is not in the specification. Second, predictability is only really relevant in a situation where we have...
That's your answer. I was trying to interrupt because I do want to ask you, well, what's your answer to all of the usages of adjacent in a specification?
Your Honor, I will get to that, but I just wanted to, you know, if I may just address Judge Stoll's point earlier about criticality, because if you look at In Re Global IP Holdings, this court said that this court cited In Re Peters, which held that criticality, so if the disclosed species is critical to the invention, you don't really consider predictability. And here you have evidence throughout the specification, as Judge Stoll noted, that the invention's about this compact antenna design. All things being equal, if you have two coils and if you place them side by side versus concentric, the concentric arrangement is going to give you the more compact design. In fact, if you look at page 32 of New Current's blue brief, they say over there the concentric coil arrangement is not only more compact, but it's also more technologically advanced. That is a clear recognition of the criticality of the concentric coil arrangement, and that's why the board need not even have to consider predictability. Now, to Judge Newman's question about adjacent, Your Honor, context matters. And as Judge Stoll noted, the board looked at the context of adjacent as used when describing adjacent coils. And in that context, the inventor only had possession of a concentric coil arrangement. And that's a factual finding that the board made looking at all the citations New Current provided to it, the competing expert testimony. That's a factual finding that is entitled to deference on appeal. And I would also like to note, even New Current agrees that the term adjacent cannot be looked at in a vacuum. It is context dependent. And this was New Current's argument to the board on appendix page 597, Your Honors. New Current said the term adjacent, while it may generally mean next to determine its exact meaning, its precise meaning, you have to look at context. The board looked at that context, looked at the competing testimony, reviewed the entirety of the disclosure, and made a factual finding that the inventor did not have possession of the full scope of Claim 1. Unless Your Honors have any other questions.
I do have one. There's, I think, one reference to adjacent in connection with coils where the inventor says, such as. If that's correct, what else could he have meant, particularly in light of the predictability of the arc here, other than, you know, such as concentric and side by side?
So Your Honor, I think maybe, and there are, I think, more than one references to such as.
In the context of coils?
In the context of coils, exactly.
Okay.
So maybe the easiest way to see if the board erred or did not err, we can just replace adjacent coils in that sentence, and I think this is at column 19. I think we should look at this together. Column 19, lines 61 through 63. If we were to replace adjacent first and second inductor coils with concentric first and second inductor coils, such as coils 76, 78, that sentence would actually make sense. So what the board said was, such as is simply describing examples of concentric coils, and the specification has other examples of concentric coils. For instance, you could have more than two concentric coils, not just the two that are described in, for instance, figure 3 or figure 2. Unless Your Honors have any other questions, I will give the court back its time.
Any more questions for counsel?
No, thank you.
Okay, we will hear rebuttal then from Mr. Milliken.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just a couple of brief points in rebuttal. I'll pick up with written description since that's where my friend left off. Samsung does not point to anywhere in the board's decision where it considered the predictability of the technology, because Samsung cannot do so. The board's only mention of predictability was its legally incorrect statement that predictability is a factor that it merely may consider. My friend also argued that predictability isn't really relevant here because we have a claim that discloses sort of A or B. But this is effectively a genus claim. It's a genus of two because we have undisputed record evidence that there are only two possible arrangements, concentric and side by side. And given that, predictability is decidedly relevant. My friend also mentioned the criticality point. I disagree that the smaller footprint is a critical aspect of this invention such that it renders predictability irrelevant. I would say again that the critical aspect of the invention is this ability to selectively connect three terminals. But even putting all that aside, that is not the analysis the board did. The board did not say, well, New Current has made these arguments about predictability, but we don't think they're relevant because we find as a factual matter that the small footprint was critical to the invention, and so the patentee necessarily meant just the concentric arrangement. If that had been the board's analysis, we might be having a different argument. But that's not what the board found, and so at minimum, I think that the proper remedy would be to vacate the board's decision and to remand for consideration of the written description issue with proper attention to predictability. On obviousness, My friend argued that the claim construction dispute here is effectively moot because the board applied our proposed construction. That's not correct. The board said quite clearly at Appendix 89 that in its view, what made something a terminal was just a connection to circuitry that was external to the coil as opposed to external to the antenna. That's precisely the claim construction error that we are urging on appeal. In order to be a terminal, a point has to connect to something outside of the antenna. My friend also argued that the antenna in real comprises L2 and L3, so just the coils and nothing else. That's not correct, and the board did not make any such finding. The board found that Real had three terminals based on its erroneous conclusion that all you have to do to be a terminal is to connect to something outside of the coil. And I would again point to Samsung's mapping of Real's antenna to the figure 2A antenna, because that shows that the antenna in Real is not just L2 and L3. The capacitors to which Samsung mapped Real's matching network are indisputably part of the claimed antenna. The patent says this explicitly. That is a switch circuit, and it is a switch circuit that is one of the components of the antenna. And so if you follow that mapping, which Samsung itself urged, then you necessarily must conclude, I think, that the interconnection points at the ends of Real's coils do not qualify as terminals. If the court has further questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll cede the balance of my time.
Any questions for counsel?
No.
No.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you.